All right, so it's New Year's Eve, the first Sunday of New Year, 2020. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? Are you kidding me? That's all? Y'all must be perfect. All right, well, let me just share with you a few things about New Year's resolutions that might help you out, because I know there's a lot more of you. Research tells us, these research scientists tell us, that 65% of all Americans make some type of New Year's resolution. 55% of those who make those New Year's resolutions, guess what? They're health related. In other words, people say, well, I'm going to eat right this year. I'm going to eat better this year. I'm going to join a gym. I'm going to get involved in some exercise. You know what the next popular resolution is? It has to do with getting out of debt. Now, here's what I found out about this. I think it's pretty exciting. Did you know that as of today, January 5th, 2020, 95% of those New Year's resolutions are still in place? Isn't that awesome? Now, listen, you know what that tells us? This is what it says about Americans. We're great starters. But you have to be a great starter to get it off the ground, okay? Now, that's the good news. Now, you want to know what the bad news is? The bad news is that those same scientists tell us that only 8% of all New Year's resolutions actually take place. Oh, bummer. You know, it's interesting how when we look at how and why New Year's resolutions come about and why some work and why some don't, as I was laying in bed, I started thinking, why is it that certain people make their New Year's resolutions, and then there's others that sometimes don't even make it through the first couple weeks? And so I did some research, and I found a clinical psychologist by the name of Carly Moores, and she gives us three reasons why she believes that the majority of people don't make their New Year's resolution. Okay? Are you ready for this? Sorry, I went too fast. Here's the first one. The resolutions that we make are too big. Somebody says, I'm going to lose 100 pounds, or I'm going to start running. I'm going to start today by running 5 miles. Here's what these research scientists tell us. Small equals great. So in other words, start out small. So maybe this month I'm going to lose 2 to 4 pounds. And if you do that each and every month, that's a lot of weight that you will have lost by next December, okay? So that's the first reason of why we want it. Is resolutions are too big. Here's the second reason why they don't work. Accountability. Now, this is what I think is hilarious. Did you know if you tell somebody about your New Year's resolution, your chances of accomplishing that resolution skyrocket? Because now you have someone that knows what you're intending to do, and they can ask you about it. Here's the third reason why they don't work. People fail to write them down. Now, here's what something that is kind of interesting, is that scientists tell us, research tells us, that when you write something down in your mind, it's like you've just made a commitment. And so these research experts encourage us that when you make a New Year's resolution, start out small, have accountability, tell others about it, and the third thing then is what we just talked about is write it down. Now, I'm going to give you a fourth one, and this is free of charge. Put it somewhere where people can see it. Put it somewhere where people can see it. For example, put it on your refrigerator and then watch what happens, because everybody will see that walks through the kitchen, because everybody looks at the refrigerator, and then they will start to watch and ask you. Now, those are the four ways, if you've made a New Year's resolution, that you can be successful. All right, now, so I went a little farther with this, and I found out that there is a group right now called Strava. And they're a research group. And for the last 10 years, you know what they've been doing? They've been studying New Year's resolution to pinpoint the exact day when more than 80% of New Year's resolutions fail. So this company has been viewing online activities, and they have viewed over 31.5 million online activities, and they now can tell you, they've pinpointed the exact day in 2020 that over 80% of all New Year's resolutions will fail. Want to know what the day is? Okay. Well, if you don't, then I won't tell you. No. You want to know what the day is? Thank you. Sunday, January 12th. Next Sunday. So that's interesting. So think about this, guys. This is good news. If you just make it to next week, your chances of accomplishing your resolution skyrocket. Isn't that great news? 7 more days, you can do it, all right? Now, we all know that the reason that we make New Year's resolutions is because, well, we believe that there's something in our lives that probably needs to change. I made a New Year's resolution. And the reason? Because I know that there are some things that my wife has, that I know that I need to change. And so what I'm doing is writing them down, and I'm doing all the things that I need to do. I've started out small, but I've also learned this. I'm not the only one that wants to better myself. I've learned that God wants to better me too. Did you know that? In fact, he wants to better me so much that he's not content with little changes. You see, God wants me to become more in the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And the same is for you. God wants all of us to look more and more like Jesus. We think, hey, I made a New Year's resolution. But God has been doing this in your life since the very day you asked him into your heart. Now, the reason that it doesn't happen as fast as we would like it to happen is because there's something that we each need to do in our life. And if we haven't done this in our life, it's not going to happen the way we want it to happen. And here's what it is. You have to put first things first in your life. God wants to do some rearranging of some of your priorities in his life, in your life, in my life. And it begins by putting first things first. So stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read a very well-known passage, and it's from Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, when change is needed in my life, thank you that you give me the grace for that change to be completed. But Lord, that change has to begin with what rules my heart. I pray that you would reveal to me this morning what it is that is ruling my heart. And for that, I say thank you, Emmanuel. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you this morning when it is that my life is most enjoyable and at peace. It is when my wife, Lori, knows that she is the most important thing in my life. When she knows that she takes priority in my heart, I want you to know that life is good. She cares for me. When I was sick, she would rub oils on my head. She would make me my meals. When I would ask her, I want something special, she would say, I'll be glad to do it. Life is good. But I've also learned that when there is something that threatens her position in my heart, the waters can get a little turbulent. Anybody know what I mean? Some of you know the old saying, happy wife, happy life, right? I want you to know that's true. And I also want you to know that's actually biblical. But in order for that to happen, to have a happy wife, there's some rearranging that needs to take place in my heart. And so I want to look at our verse here today, and this is what I'm going to work on, and I'm just going to work on the first two parts of it. And the Bible tells us, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, okay? This is God's New Year's resolution for all of us. Let's read it together once again, okay? Let's read it together. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All right, now that was kind of but here's the choice. Let's say it like we mean it now, okay? Here we go. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It would be good that you put that to memory since that's your New Year's resolution. So I can take this scripture verse and I can tell you what that New Year's resolution is in three words. And here it is. Put God first. That's it. Just put God first. When the Bible says, but seek ye first his kingdom, here's what it means. It means that you and I are passionately pursuing Jesus. I love those words, passionately pursuing. It means that you are going after him, and you are going after him with vengeance. And the reason that you're going after him with vengeance is because you know that his position in your life is critical. He wants to be first. He wants, after everything that you go through in life, the first thing you do is you go after him, that you talk to him. He is the one who wants the priority. Now listen to this. Here's the thing that's funny is that he gives all of us the choice, but he requires us to have him first. Wow. So what does that look like? It just means exactly what it says it means. He wants to be first. So here's what I believe, or how I make sure that God is first in my life. This morning, okay, at 5 a.m., my alarm went off. I got up. I turned my alarm off. I have my phone in hand. The first thing I did is I went to Jesus Calling. And I read in there, because if you read it today, it talked about that God isn't just in our successes, but he's also in our failures. And the reason that those failures are important, because it's those failures that draw us closer to him. That was the very first thing I read. Now, why did I do that? Really simple. Because I want God to know he comes first in my life. Even before I went to the bathroom. I just want God to know, by the way that I'm living, that he comes first. So what's happened in my life is that now when I wake up, the first thoughts that I have are about him. And it's almost like, well, Lord, okay, I know what I've got planned for today. Recently, as I've been laying flat on my back, I've been like, okay, Lord, I'm not very happy right now because I'm not a very good patient. Lord, did I do something wrong? But I'm having a conversation with him, okay? Then, as I came this morning and preparing, we met at 7 o'clock in the chapel praying, asking God to show up and asking God to bless our worship service. Then I pray, even now as I'm preaching, there's another voice going on in my head that is praying that God's word would accomplish what his word is supposed to accomplish. so that when it's done, it doesn't matter what you say. The only thing that matters is what he thinks. Now I know that when I go home, the afternoons are hard because Satan comes after me with vengeance. So you know what I do? I've got a little devotion booklet that I just kind of read through. In other words, do you get it? I am making sure that he knows he's first in my life. And let me tell you this, he never fails me. And what I mean by that is that I know what it feels like to live the abundant life. Now, have I been perfect in that? Well, of course not, just like you haven't. I've had my struggles just like you. But I am being intentional about putting him first. So when the Bible talks about here, about but seek first his kingdom, here's what he's saying. Just make me first in your life. Seek my perspective first. All right, so seek his kingdom. So what does it mean when he says, and his righteousness? Okay, well, let me show you what righteousness is. Righteousness is the standard that God has established by which his people are made acceptable to him. The key word, standard. So what God is saying to us is that in life, as we're going through life and we encounter the problems, the trials, the tribulations, he's saying, seek my standard first. Stop looking at what the world is doing because the world's standard changes every 5 minutes. Just ask the Methodist Church right now. They are going through a horribly difficult time, and it breaks my heart that the body of Christ, that part of the body has chosen to look at other things rather than what the scriptures teach. Let me share with you one scripture passage just briefly about the importance about God's word and his standard. This is what God says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. You see, when I am applying God's standard in my life, this is what's happening. I am demonstrating his position or his rulership in my life. Now hold on with me for just a second. His rulership in my life is his authority. Righteousness is living that authority out in my daily life. And so here's what I'm saying to God. God, this is my life. You've given it to me, my wife, my family. You've given this all to me, and it belongs to you because you and your standard come first. So I was trying to think. I was thinking, you know, Lord, I'd really love to have a really good example about that. And he gave me one. Anybody watching the Clemson game? Remember what happened afterwards? Listen to this young man.
Just the fight, this team didn't play great, didn't look pretty, but just find a way to get it done. And I wouldn't want to do this with anyone else. And I have Ephesians 3:20, and it says, God can do immeasurably more than any of us can because of him within us. And that's just so true. I mean, all of us, me, what we did tonight, just it ain't us. You know, it's about this program and who we are and just our brand. And, you know, it's more than about football, but I really love this team.
All right, now listen to me. Here's what I mean by that. He didn't just throw on the end, oh, yeah, and God gets the glory. Oh, no, he starts out, and he's got a plan in place. In fact, it's written on his arm, Ephesians 3:20. And what's his message to the world? God can do more, immeasurably more than you could think or imagine. How many people in the world need to hear that right now? How many people in the world who are watching a football game and all of a sudden they get a glimpse of the gospel and it wasn't tagged on in the beginning. It was something that was thought out and it was lived. So I did some research on this quarterback. I want to find out more about him. You know what I found out? He grew up in a Christian home. You know what? He went to church. Mom and dad didn't give him a choice. He went to church. He had to memorize scripture. This was something that was planned in advance. And that's what it means, my dear friends in Christ, to put God first and his standard before everybody else's. When you do that, your moment will come when God will use you to do something great. Now, I brought some donuts with me. Okay? And actually, I'm surprised they're still here. I want to share with you how important this is. Because God says this, when you put me first and you seek my standard, the next thing that he tells us is, and all these things will be added to you as well. Food is to the body like righteousness is to the soul. If you don't eat, you die. When you don't do righteous acts, your soul starves. Well, think about this. So what happens is I get up in the morning, and after I say good morning to the Lord, I usually think about, what am I going to have for breakfast? And this happens to pop in there a lot. Just one of these fits perfectly into my mouth. And so what happens is I get a craving. And then I go and I find the donuts, and you know what? And I take one, and I have two, and I want to tell you, I would have no problem eating this whole bag. Anybody can say amen with me? There you go. Oh, good job, men. That's the loudest I've heard you in a long time. Anyway, but isn't it true? Man, I can down these easy. Now, here's what I want you to remember. So as I'm eating these, oh, they taste good. They taste good going down, and then I have another one. And here's what happens. After I've eaten these, I feel full. I feel like I've eaten, I don't have to eat for a while, I feel full. Now, here's the way it works. If you think that by doing that, you're going to build muscle, you're wrong. Because here's what happens. If this is part of my diet, guess what happens? You know what I develop? Flab. The same thing happens in our spiritual lives. You see, we think that if we are involved in occasional righteousness, that we're going to be okay and we're going to build spiritual muscle. And I'm here to tell you, I'm sorry, that's not true. When we partake of what the world offers, the worldliness, the laziness, all of the things that the world tells us will make us feel good, we take that in and we think we're going to build spiritual muscle, but we won't. We will only build spiritual flab. And that's why God says, you need to have me first in your life. You need to seek my standards because that's the only way that your soul can thrive. And I don't know about you, but I want my soul to thrive because I know what a dark and starving soul feels like. Now, some of you may ask, well, how do I know? How do I know if my soul is starving? Here's the question, or here's the answer. When life sets in, you worry and you're filled with fear. Next week, I'm going to talk about worry and anxiety. That's the second half of this passage. And so if you deal with that, I want you to come, invite your friends. We're going to deal with that. But right now, I just want to deal with this, seeking him first and his righteousness. All right, now, so the Bible tells us that if I seek him first and his righteousness, he says, and then these things will be added to me. All right, now listen very carefully to this. Please don't miss this. What God just said was this. If he's not first in our life, if he's not the priority, then he can't add anything else, all of these things, to your life. You see, when God isn't sitting on the throne of your life, when he is not first in your life and something else is there, you know what happens? You and I feel like we have to deal with life and I got to take care of me. And you know what the result of that is? Worry. every single time, it's worry, and it leads to anxiety and all kinds of problems. Listen to me very carefully. Hear this, church. Worry is the result of not having God in his rightful place. It doesn't mean your life will be perfect. It doesn't mean that everything is going to go your way. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have trials and tribulations. What it does mean is this: you will live the full and abundant life with the peace that goes beyond all understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And you know what? I got to have that peace. I want to show you something. This is the verse before Matthew 6:33. And in case you didn't know, all of the verses that go before Matthew 6:33 and after 33 deal with one subject. You know what it is? Worry. Look what he says. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. These are the things that are promised to us when we put God first. So let me show you, what does it look like for people who put God first? Well, look what the scriptures teach us here. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. These are Peter, James, and John. They're in the water. They've been preparing their whole life for the Messiah. And Jesus comes and he says, follow me. And you know what they do? They leave and they follow him. People, none of the three of them said, well, you know what? Let me check my schedule first. No, the Lord called them and they followed. Here's the second one. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. And this is my word to our young people who are here today. Righteousness starts at a young age. And it begins by being obedient to your parents. You see, in life, it's not the big mistakes you make that form your mind and your hearts and your values. It's the little things that you skimp on. That's what makes the difference. And so your answer, your reply to whatever God is doing in your life, it should be, may it be to me just as you have said. One more. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. This is Abraham, and God said to him, he came to test him. He said, Abraham, I need your son. Maybe Abraham, that son is in my place. And Abraham, there's only one place for me, and I'm going to show you where my position is by what you're about to do. I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to go to Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. And what did Abraham do? The next morning, he got up and he was obedient. Now, what about those people who did not? Look at this one. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Remember that one? This is the young rich ruler. He was wealthy. He had everything he needed, and he went to Jesus. He said, you know what? I've obeyed all the commandments. Tell me, what do I need to do? And Jesus said, you need to get rid of and sell all the stuff that you have been given and come follow me. And the man went away, and he was dejected. Why? Because he didn't have God first. Last one. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Here we have Paul, and he's preaching the gospel. And this king kind of laughs because do you think with everything you're saying that you can just change my heart? That's a hard heart. My friends, Jesus tells us in his word, put him first. And follow his standard. Now, you know one of the hard things about being a pastor is? Sometimes God tests you with them before you have to preach it. Last week, Sunday, I was sitting downstairs. Lori was upstairs watching Hallmark movies. I was downstairs. I was feeling pretty cruddy. I was reading something, and I had my phone next to me. And then my worst nightmare came in a text. This is the thing that you don't want to hear from your children. It was from Dan, and he just simply said, "We're on the plane. We're about 25 minutes from San Jose. We lost an engine. Please pray." You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Kansas University flight took off from San Jose, and they lost an engine. Immediately, I got up. It's amazing, this burst of energy I got. I got up, and I went upstairs, and Lori just happened to be walking in the kitchen. And I said, "Sweetheart, we got a situation." She lay down prostrate on our living room floor, and I got down, and we just began to pray. That's all we did, was pray. I mean, I cried out to God like I've never cried out before. And I prayed, "God, I need your hand to be into the belly of that plane. And I need you to guide that plane back to the airport. I need you to be with those pilots. And I pray, Lord, that you would be the one who's flying that plane." And then we started just praying every Bible verse that we could think of. And then when I got finished, then Lori started praying. And while that, I'm just texting Dan every possible scripture verse that I know. And I wanted him to know that God is his tower and strength. I want him to know that there is nothing to fear because God is with us. I wanted him to know that even in the midst of a subject or an issue that's happening where it seems like it is out of control, God is there and it is in control. And then I will never forget, I was looking at my phone and all of a sudden one word popped up on my screen. Landed. Ha. Whoo. That's when we lost it. You know? But here's what I want you to know. I'm not telling this for you to think, "Oh, but our pastor's got a great faith." I'm not telling you that at all. I'm telling you this because I want you to be able to experience what I experienced. And that is that during that time, we were never afraid. We were never fearful. There was this peace that came about our house like I have never felt before. And it was a peace just said, "I am here." And if you're going through a dark and difficult time right now and you're not sure how it's going to end one way or another, know this: God is present. He is there. And if God is there, you have everything you need. Now, I know it's really easy. You can say, "Well, Pastor Bob, everything turned all right." Yeah, it did. But I want you to know that we were prepared for whatever. But here's what I want you to know that I didn't do. I never once felt the need to get online to find out how a plane could fly with one engine. I never felt the need to go on social media and watch the video that was spreading out about the flames shooting from the engine. There was only one thing that I knew to do, and one thing only, and that was this: get on my knees before the God who is over all things and pray to him. And that's what God is saying to us today. Just simply this: put me first. Just put him first. And then these things will be added to you as well. And that's what we'll talk about next week.